Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen here with another Castle Country Focus interview. And today in the studio, we are joined by a quartet of officers out from the Emory County Sheriff's Office. We got Andy Wall, AJ O'Neill, Sean Roper, and Sheriff Tyson Huntington. It's a pleasure to have you all in here today. Thanks for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it.
We're happy to come over, Aiden. Appreciate it.
And you know, it's always fun when I get officers in here because you guys can kind of give us insight on what's happening in law enforcement. And recently, it's been a busy time for you. I mean, not only, your standard drug seizures along I-15, but recently you guys were able to crack a series of major thefts that were happening throughout the summer. So I think a good place for a start, just kind of give some background on what these thefts or how these thefts occurred and what they were stealing.
So real quick, Aiden, we had a bunch of thefts up on the forest over the summer, and it sounds like, you know, people were just camping or hunting or whatever the case was, and when they weren't in their camps, stuff was walking away. And they were reported to us and reported to the Forest Service. And just kind of in a nutshell, we were able to make idea who it was and make an arrest. But I didn't work the case like in the past, perhaps, but these guys here did all the work and they know all the details, more or less.
Yeah, and that's why we're excited to have them. And then you can give us some of that insight that really, it's you don't really get to hear from the police perspective on these things. So I guess a good place for us to start is, what is kind of the initial stages of an investigation like this look like?
Good old-fashioned police work, just back to the basics, taking small bits of information from all of the victims, piecing it together, and start identifying suspects, vehicles, things like that.
And, you know, I like that phrase, good old-fashioned police work, because we live in the age of just constant technology, and you guys have a lot of fun tools over there at the sheriff's office, but being able to break it down to the basics can definitely provide a bit of an advantage if you still have those kinds of skills. Now, with there being several victims, what was it like trying to reach out to all these victims, gather information, and try and ID the suspect in this case?
It was pretty simple. It was time-consuming because we had at least six different victims throughout the summer. So it was a little time-consuming, but they were very helpful, easy to work with, answered the phone when we called. The one gal, I was able to text message back and forth. I actually sent a photo lineup with our suspect in there through text message because she wasn't in the area, and she positively identified our suspect that way. So it was very helpful with them cooperating and giving us as much information as they had.
And that's something we were talking about a bit beforehand, was the level of cooperation from these suspects was very beneficial to the case. How nice is it to have a suspect or victims who are willing to cooperate as much as these ones did? And how often does that occur for you guys?
It makes all the difference in the world. I don't know. I'd say it's 50-50. I'd say half the time we get really good cooperation, the other half, zero. And the ones when we don't get cooperation, we still work as hard as we can, but it's not near as beneficial as when we have a cooperating witness.
You know, the work's not going to stop for you guys, but it just gets a little harder if people aren't cooperating. And, you know, the thing is, you guys are here to help the community, and you guys do such an excellent job of that. So to anyone listening, I really encourage, if you are a victim to a crime, cooperate with the local sheriff's office. They have your best interest in heart, and they want to get these bad guys out of town.
Yeah, and one thing with the victims, without the victim, I don't think we could have even came close to solving this. And, you know, the details sometimes that we were given on this specific vehicle, what the person looked like was very, very important. So she was able to give us everything from the type of glasses he was wearing to what clothes he was wearing to specific things on the ATV that stuck out. So without that, I don't know if we could have got as far as we did.
Now, you've done the investigative work, you've gone along, you've positively ID'd these suspects. Deputy, while you were the one who was actually able to help serve this search warrant, what did that look like in this case? Because I know a lot of times you got to be prepared for anything as you're going to serve these warrants, but what did it look like in this case?
Right, this one was a little different because, of course, as we're going for the search warrant, we believe we know our suspect, but at the same time, there's that possibility that it might be somebody else or it might have multiple people involved. So serving it was a little tricky, and once we got that done and we was able to talk to our potential suspect and get information from him, it come together pretty quickly. And it was nice having victim information that we could real-time communicate with them while we're serving that search warrant and ID different items that have been taken, be able to have their cooperation and just have them there with us kind of virtually, but that helped out a lot.
Now, in terms of a rough estimate, how much was actually stolen over the course of this summer before you were able to catch this guy?
We're probably looking close to, that we know of, that's the bad part, that we know of probably at least 10,000 or more.
And that,
between the victims that have come forward, there's potentially other victims, but...
And that's a hefty chunk of change right there taken from these campsites. But you guys were able to catch him. So now that you have the guy in custody, you've arrested him, what kind of comes next in the process from the sheriff's side of things?
So we obviously collected all of the stolen items that we were able to positively identify. We were able to get a hold of the victims. Most of the victims have been returned their property, or the most of it that we've been able to find. I actually traveled up north to take stuff back to victims that aren't from our area, and they were so excited to get their stuff back. I believe they live in a little bit different area where sometimes things fall through the cracks a little easier, and down here we were able to keep our feet on the ground, get the stuff back, and get it back to them pretty quickly, and I think they were pretty excited with the way that turned out for them.
And like you mentioned earlier, the level of communication between you and these victims, truly incredible. I mean, being able to text with them as you're going through this search warrant service, positively identifying these items, I think that's a major benefit that in a bigger city, you're probably not going to be able to have that same level of connection as we do down here.
Correct. Yeah. That's what really helped us out a lot is the connection that we're able to have with our victims and the time that we're able to spend with them. I think it had a real positive impact, not only for us, but for them as well.
Now, Sheriff Huntington, I know you really like to brag about what your guys are doing out there, so let's bring you back on to kind of close us out here. As you kind of look at this case as a whole, now that we have the full picture of it, what kind of message would you like to send to the community about the police work done here?
Well, Aiden, the thing that makes this so important to me is, you know, we were able to get the information and get the property and get it back to the victims, which is really the end goal there. But to watch Deputy Wall, Lieutenant O'Neill, and Captain Roper, as well as other deputies, really work together and accomplish this. They were able to pull off of each other's experience. And like Deputy Wall was saying, it was kind of a weird case. So based on the work they've done in the past, they were able to pull together and make this happen. And to have, you know, a deputy, a lieutenant, and a captain working together, that's special. And that's the best part about Captain Roper and Lieutenant O'Neill. They're not above, you know, doing any kind of work. They'll help out in any way. And like Andy, Deputy Wall, he's gracious to have the help. And that goes for everybody else. But it's just nice to see this come together. And one thing I'd like to mention to the public, that if you have things that you think has gone missing and you're not quite sure, feel free to reach out and at least we can take a report and get it, you know, a case started and have it on paper. So if something like this happens and we do find property, we can get it back to you. Because sometimes we don't use stuff for months. We think we've misplaced it, but it was actually stolen. And when we find it, we'd like to be able to get it back to folks.
You know, and I think the biggest thing is you guys are such an asset to the community, not just in Emory County, but the work you're doing all across the Castle Country, really benefiting all of us citizens here. So thank you guys for all that you do for our area.
Thanks, Aiden. We're glad we had a chance to talk to you.
Again, that was a quartet of officers from the Emory County Sheriff's Office. We had Sheriff Tyson Huntington, Captain Sean Roper, Lieutenant A.J. O'Neill, and Deputy Andy Wall. And we're talking about a recent arrest they were able to make and recover lots of stolen items for community members. And for more Castle Country Focus interviews like this one, you can stay tuned to KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, or you can listen on the Castle Country Radio app. And for the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Aiden Mortensen.